The fake news wars that we're experiencing right now are not going to end soon.
Terry Mattingly on his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, making the case for news discernment.
We're actually seeing a war to define what is and what isn't news. This whole thing is about the purpose of journalism and whether the classic American model of the press, with its whole emphasis on balance and fairness, is going to survive the internet age. What we'll be talking about is where savvy readers can go to get their news. We're also going to ask, what happens to American public discourse if we all keep on clicking on news sources that only tell us what we want to hear?
You can meet and hear Terry Mattingly June 9th and 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, or call
618-223-8385. What we have in the Donald Trump phenomenon, as well as in the Hillary Clinton phenomenon, is an embrace of the very kind of moral and cultural decadence that conservatives have been saying for a long time is the problem.
That's Dr. Russell Moore, president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission for the Southern Baptist Convention, speaking last year about the two leading presidential candidates. He is catching fire from within the Southern Baptist Convention. Some large congregations, about 100 congregations, threatening to withhold funds from what amounts to the general fund for the Southern Baptist Convention. Lots of money on the line. And earlier this week, he had a meeting with a highly placed official in the Southern Baptist Convention. They emerged with a statement of mutual support. But going in the Washington Post, they were speculating perhaps that Russell Moore would lose his job. Does this have only to do with Donald Trump, or is it also about generational conflicts, not only within the Southern Baptist Convention, but perhaps evangelicalism in general? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning in live this Thursday afternoon, the 16th of March. Terry Mattingly is going to join us to talk about media coverage of Russell Moore under fire and generational conflicts in the church a little bit later. Dr. Diane Medved will be our guest. We're going to talk about divorce. She has authored several books, classic on it, about 10 years ago, and her latest, Don't Divorce, Powerful Arguments for Saving and Revitalizing Your Marriage. Then our series, Christ in the Old Testament, will be in Psalm 31, Into Your Hands I Commit My Spirit, one that is actually quoted by Christ from the cross. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. Joining us to talk about media coverage of a Southern Baptist church leader, Russell Moore, under fire from within his own denomination and generational conflicts in the church, Terry Mattingly. He's Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, welcome back.
Glad to be here.
Russell Moore is kind of a stand-in, I think, for a generation, not only of Baptists, but maybe of Christians or evangelicals in general, isn't he?
He really is. I'm hearing an echo.
We'll fix that for you, Terry.
Okay. He really is, and I see him as a stand-in for a lot of things. But I think the biggest issue right now, and kind of ironically, we can do a plug here for someone who, if he hasn't been on your show, probably will be soon, and that would be the book, The Benedict Option, by Rod Dreher. There's a sense in which an older generation of evangelicals still really believes that they can win the culture war if they just get one or two more voices on the Supreme Court. That would undo decades of work by Hollywood, mainstream education, etc. Now, note, if there were a couple of changes on the Supreme Court, that might make a major difference in terms of a basic defense of religious liberty, in terms of the ability to live out their faith, defend their churches, defend ministries, etc. I'm not saying that isn't important, but I'm saying that culture is like climate. It changes very, very slowly. And we've been, to paraphrase the great sociologist James Davison Hunter, we've been developing our current cultural climate for a long, long time. And you see this in polls on the kind of the moral point of view of not only the religiously unaffiliated, but of millennial evangelicals or, the students who attend most evangelical Christian colleges and universities, of which if you go back and look at James Davison Hunter's work on evangelicalism, the coming generation, that was like 25 years ago. And you could see liberal moral perspectives already beginning to emerge in the next generation of evangelicals. So Russell Moore is a guy who's talking about all of those things as realities, not as unchangeable realities, but as realities that really affect where we are right now. And there are a lot of, I like to say there are two different groups of young evangelicals. One is a group that basically has begun a kind of soft liberalism and is developing a kind of morally compromised, from my doctrinal point of view, stance on marriage and family, public life, etc. Then you have a whole lot of other young evangelicals, of which Russell Moore is one of the most popular figures among them, along with among Baptist Al Mohler at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. And a lot of these folks are Calvinists, and they're coming from a more historic approach to theology and church life. And these people are not liberalizing on the moral and social issues, but they're saying the church has to face the reality of what's going on in the culture right now and actually prepare to deal with it. Now, doesn't that sound like some of the debates you've heard about Rod Dreher's book?
Absolutely.
As well?
Yes, absolutely.
At which point you can see two different kinds of people who are angry about Rod's book. Among evangelicals and Protestants, as opposed to just secular people. One is liberal evangelicals are furious with this book. But then you'll also see a few very old school kind of religious right, and most of them pro-Trump, conservatives who say, hey, we just won the presidency. We're going to change America. You can watch that debate unfold about Rod's book. At the same time, you can watch that debate about the work of Russell Moore. It's the same debate.
I think you have said, maybe just in casual conversation recently, that there are some in that older generation, in the case of the Southern Baptist Convention, who believe that the election of Donald Trump has kind of put the decline of America on pause.
I think Rod would say it has perhaps, depending on what happens to the court, have bought us a safety zone in which at least a few things can be debated on the legal level. But Rod, for example, in his book, and this is where it's interesting to watch dialogues between people like Al Mohler and Dreher or Russell Moore and Dreher or others, Rod would say we might have a safety zone. We might even be able to achieve some sort of a compromise, a big word at Get Religion and in my own work. We might actually get a compromise that defends religious liberty while conceding as much space in the public square to the moral and cultural left as possible. We might actually get rulings that demand that Americans be tolerant of one another. Imagine that. You'll hear Rod say stuff like that, but he doesn't think that decades of cultural change in the lives of young people, young families, etc., that you're going to snap some political fingers and that's going to change overnight. Moralistic therapeutic deism has not emerged in like 5 years, and all of a sudden people are going to go back to believing in salvation through Christ alone, you know, and other believing in traditional marriage, defending the rights of homeschoolers. All of that's not going to change, you know, just because a billionaire from New York with an extremely dicey private life history all of a sudden says he's seen the light and is going to help the moral right. Which brings up another point. How much movement are we actually seeing in the Trump administration on issues of religious liberty and moral conservatism other than the highly symbolic and important people who spoke at the Right to Life March, and then also the nomination of a man who appears, and I underline the word appears, to be in favor of the kind of original approach to law that Justice Scalia had, which might imply conservative decisions on a couple of moral and social issues. We don't really know where Judge Gorsuch is on those issues. I don't think anybody does.
So this made it to the pages of the Washington Post. Sarah Pulliam Bailey, frequent guest on this program and a former Get Religion contributor, wrote a really extensive piece on this.
Right.
What were your thoughts?
Well, I've written about it twice. And all of the best material in her article, from my point of view, is down in the body of the article, where she gets into some crucial Southern Baptist voices, including those among African-American Southern Baptists, a topic that you and I have discussed some in the past. If you're not paying attention to what's happening among Latino and African-American Southern Baptist churches, you're missing a very important story right now, which is that the Southern Baptists are having a slight decline in membership, a major decline in baptisms and conversions. They're having a slight decline in membership, but if you take out the growth of African-American churches and Latino churches, the Southern Baptists have got big problems right now. And they know how important racial reconciliation is. So in a move that I don't know where Sarah got the idea for her story, but I would predict, knowing a little bit about journalism, that what maybe convinced her editors to let her go with the story was the fact that several days ago, coming up on like 6 or 7 days ago now, there was a major statement from African-American Southern Baptists saying, in this debate about the work of Russell Moore, we are totally in favor of what Moore has done, and we back him to the hilt. In other words, somebody threw down a very important card in that debate early on, and pardon the pun, it was not a Trump card that got laid first. The folks that are critical of Moore, and 100 Southern Baptist churches out of 46,000 is not a large number, but these are strategically located old guard churches, especially in Texas. And as I've always said, you know, the bumper sticker, don't mess with Texas, that really plays in Southern Baptist life as well. Because statistically and economically, the phrase I've always used is that Texas is the wallet on which the Southern Baptist Convention sits. I mean, it is, in terms of financial clout and numbers, you can't ignore something that's going on in Texas. But you also can't ignore something that's going on among young Southern Baptist emerging leaders, among Southern Baptist educators, and among Southern Baptist leaders in networks of African American and Latino churches, which is what makes this debate so intriguing.
Terry Mattingly is our guest. We're talking about media coverage of Southern Baptist church leader Russell Moore under fire and generational conflicts in the church. Terry, Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City and author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate. We'll be right back.
If you're like me, you remember when education was about the basic skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and history that gave our kids models of what it is to be a good person. Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum is bringing this kind of education back. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Mark your calendars for the 4th Annual Metro East Home and Garden Show, Saturday and Sunday, March 18th and 19th, at and to benefit Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. Featuring over 50 exhibitors, including many new vendors, as well as recycling and shredding services on site. On Saturday, join home and garden experts Rich Orris of Mosby Building Arts and Tony Frisella of Frisella's Nursery, along with Metro East alum and talk show host Annie Fry, as well as radio personalities Julie Tristan and Billy Greenwood, meeting and greeting with show visitors. And don't forget, Fred Bird appears both days. Sunday is Family Safety Day, provided by Glennon Safety Kids Program and Sports Care Team. Pet adoption services on site. Visitors can register to win a $500 voucher for pet grooming services, compliments of Tina's Pet Grooming in Edwardsville, Illinois. Check them out on Facebook. The Metro East Home and Garden Show is sponsored by the Bank of Edwardsville, Riverbender, and EdGlennToday.com. Free admission and parking. Learn more at MEHGS.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Thursday, March the 16th, we're talking about media coverage of Russell Moore under fire and generational conflicts in the church. Terry Mattingly is our guest. So, Terry, if you had an opportunity to explain this to a reporter, Sarah Polian Bailey understands the Southern Baptist Convention, but to a reporter who's following up on these stories, what would you say about that, for lack of a better term, generational conflict, of which the Russell Moore flap is only a symptom? What would you tell them about that church body?
Well, first of all, they've got to learn to recognize that there are different camps within the world of religious conservatism, and that some of these different camps may even at times have the same theology, but they have different ways of applying that theology, which means to some degree you're going to have to chase this story deeper inside the very conservative cultures that most journalists have hardly even been willing to talk to at this point. Let's look at it in terms of generational conflict within another church. I hang out a little bit with Missouri Synod Lutherans from time to time. Would you say that there is more than one kind of conservative within the Missouri Synod Lutheran Church?
Oh, golly, yes, I would.
Okay, so let's say that one of those camps primarily existed in the world of large church, suburban, megachurch land. And would you say that they like a certain type of music and they probably read certain types of books different from another group of conservative Missouri Synod Lutherans, which are probably very interested in church history? They're probably observing Lent right now. They're more liturgically minded. Their church services look different. And even though both of them, when it comes to the basic stands on moral and conservative issues, would you say that they have different priorities in how they want the church to live out their lives at the level of everything from family life to public debates?
I could not have said it better myself.
Some people actually think I'm pretty good at this sort of stuff. But it is where I've spent several decades trying to follow this. Now, if you show up in a lot of other camps, you will see the same thing. There are massive generational differences right now between young Roman Catholic priests and the older Catholic priests who came up in the furors following Vatican II. That would be another major generational point. I think if you went to the current battles in the Episcopal Church, you would find probably as many young priests and thinkers and missionaries, etc. You'd find as many or more on the conservative alternative Anglican side as you would find on the liberal side. In other words, young does not equal liberal within dedicated church settings, even though Young may statistically equal moral liberalism in terms of national American culture. Did you get my distinction? That the people who are committed to the church, a lot of the younger ones, a lot of them in these younger networks, are really interested in the church through the ages, much more so than they are what has happened with what churches are growing or not church growing within the last decade or two. Some of them, this shows up in Rod Dreher's book again, some of them may believe that there's more hope right now for Christianity in the long run in Africa, or maybe even in the really long run in a place like China, than in Western Europe or North America, because of certain trends related to family life, divorce, family size, education, etc. So these are very complex stories. And someone like Sarah Pulliam Bailey, who speaks fluent evangelical, knows how to kind of separate these groups out. She probably has very close friends and contacts in all of the different camps. But how many people like her are there in modern newsrooms? I don't want to turn this into a conversation about the work of a former colleague of mine at Get Religion, but she obviously has contacts. She has a Rolodex, both a literal one and one between her ears when it comes to covering these stories. We're having to ask a lot of other newsrooms to cover stories like this, and they don't have anybody there who knows anything about evangelicalism other than, hey, 80% of white evangelicals voted for Trump, and then there are these brave liberal evangelicals who are standing up for the good, the right, and the true. That's their knowledge of evangelicalism, if they have that much. So they're not going to be able to cover the Russell Moore story with any depth.
So with only about a minute, do you think that a major media narrative might be simply to write this story about the division in the Southern Baptist Convention over Donald Trump?
Well, I mean, that's the easy one, and that's the one the editors are going to want. But when push comes to shove out there in conversations among Southern Baptists, other things are going to be discussed. I think another story right now would be debates among Southern Baptists over whether or not they should be defending the religious liberty rights of Muslims in modern America. That was a flashpoint at the convention last summer. I would expect that they can get ready for a similar debate at this coming summer's convention. Here, the other issue I would watch carefully is Southern Baptist on education at all levels. At some point, Southern Baptists are going to say it's time to give up on public education in America, in most of the United States. That's going to be a massive event. And to be honest with you, that might be one of the only places where a lot of conservative Southern Baptists on different sides might actually speak together at this point. It certainly bids watching.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City. He is author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and the book Pop Goes Religion. He's founder and editor of Get Religion. Terry, thanks for being our guest.
Glad to be here.
On the other side of the break, we're going to talk about divorce, really about avoiding divorce, something that many people believe is unavoidable. Dr. Diane Medved, author of the book Don't Divorce, Powerful Arguments for Saving and Revitalizing Your Marriage, will be our guest. Stay tuned.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Faith in American Christianity is most often seen as an act of will. It's a desire. It's an attitude. It's a habit.
Pastor Todd Peppercorn on his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, making the case for a Lutheran view of depression.
But what happens when you have a mental illness? Whether we're talking about depression, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, or any number of mental illnesses, all of these mess with your brain, your ability to interact with the outside world. How does God work in that kind of circumstance?
You can meet and hear Pastor Todd Peppercorn June 9th and 10th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Because Christ-centered preaching matters. Because His Word does accomplish that which He purposes. Because hanging out with like-minded Lutherans is important. Hi, I'm Alicia Herman, member of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and I invite you to Redeemer. I particularly appreciate Redeemer as a church where God's grace enables us to see that our justification depends not on our performance, but solely on Christ's performance. If you're looking for a Lutheran oasis, where in a changing culture, the message stays the same, visit us in Fort Wayne or at redeemer-fortwayne.org.
Smartest listeners in radio, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.